You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know. But after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when you have two spirits haunting your home in two very different ways? That's what we discuss today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Then it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, you want to help keep us on the air, we greatly appreciate that. You guys have been doing that for now more than 7 years. You can become an EPP, an extra podcast person. And in exchange for your support, we give you an extra episode every single week exclusively for EPPs, jam-packed with our best ghost stories. You also get advanced episodes of our show released weeks before they're going out to the public, and they're commercial free. So another advantage there. You get all of the current episodes. You get all the bonus episodes. You get our archive of episodes going back 7 years. Our ebook, our audiobook, that right there, like a $30 value if you're to buy it through Amazon or Audible. All for $5 a month when you support the show at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's interesting. Just right before we started doing the program today, we met Negan.
Yes.
Which is exciting.
Yes, we had to get a Negan.
We have a Negan. What are we talking about? Well, it's a livestock guard dog.
Yes.
And we named him Negan, obviously after Negan from The Walking Dead.
Right, right. And he's going to, when he grows up, where he's going to have a black studded collar and everything. And, you know, if I could find a little handkerchief that has bloody baseball bats, I will do that too, you know.
You know, years ago, we were doing an endorsement for something, and we got like a Negan Sluggers baseball t-shirts. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they, I mean, when he gets bigger, I bet we could probably even put that on him.
He's so fluffy. He doesn't need that.
Yeah, that's true. He right now is just a big little fluff ball of love, but it's going to be hard not to love on this dog because he's so cute. But
yeah,
I know we have to get him acquainted to the animals because that's who he's guarding, but he's our little Negan.
Yeah.
And he's here on Hilltop. So
no, it's not Hilltop.
He should be good. We'll post pictures up on social media. I'm sure by the time this airs, you can go through our social media pages and see pictures of little Negan as he grows into his full Negan self. And then we'll post the first picture of his first fatality once he takes care of something that was attacking Hilltop.
Well, we made this decision after we had Ivy get attacked.
Yeah, so, our cow.
Yeah.
The other night there were some bite marks and she's okay, but the donkey did his best, but still Eeyore. So we got a Negan. So there we go.
Eeyore needed backup.
We're getting full fledged Walking Dead style here at the Real Ghost Stories Online Aspie Acres Farm. So it's good times.
It is.
It's a new animal every day.
Seems like we
have a wheel that we spin, and whatever it lands on, that's what we go and find. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story today. It says, I live in my family home to this day, and we have two spirits in the house. The first is a young female spirit first seen by my dad. He does not believe in ghosts and spirits that much, but will tell you that what he saw was real. This is his story, not mine. Back before I was born, my mom and brother, who was 3 at the time, were at the store. My dad was home alone. He was watching TV and turned it off to lay down. The screen was black, and out of the reflection stood a young girl about the age of my brother. My dad noticed her right as she took the corner to the hallway. He got up to look to see who it was. She was gone. My brother had a twin, but sadly, he died at birth, so she'd be there at the time. She still walks around our house, pulls plugs out of walls, and plays with my music box. The other spirit is an older male, we think. He came from the hospital near our neighborhood. My mom was brought to the hospital when I was 8. When she was taken out, a few people from the hospital had died and being taken out of the hospital morgue. He's a tall man with a large beard and long hospital gown. He's mostly been a shadow, but I've seen him like he was there. He walks around the house and stands at my mom's doors. She has French doors, so we can see into them. He never goes in, but he stares into the living room sometimes. My experience is seeing him was staring into the living room. I'd fallen asleep on the couch and woken up from being hot. I turned on the fan and sat back down, remember seeing a man staring at me from my mom's doors. I did what any other kid would do and hid under the covers. When I got a little older, I saw him a second time standing in the kitchen. He always creeped me out, but never made me feel uncomfortable or like he was bad. It's been at least 6 years and he does not really interact or come out anymore. Neither does the little girl. We all still hear footsteps time to time down the hallway or in the living room. The dogs stare at the doors or in the hallway like they always did. I do not think spirits can just disappear over the years. Let me know what you think. That's my story. Sorry it's a little long or lengthy. It is definitely weird.
I think sometimes they get bored and they move on, or they decide to cross over for whatever reason. Did this person say if the spirits interacted together ever? Because I always wonder, okay, just because you're both ghosts, are you ghosts on different planes or are you ghosts on the same plane? Can, you know, sometimes I know that they can interact together, but I wonder if sometimes they can't.
They didn't seem to address that in the story to know the answer in this case, but I always wonder that too. And that's one of the most fascinating things that I talk about sometimes or ask about when I'm talking to investigators or people who live in a haunted house or had lived in a haunted house, their observations on the interaction of the spirits within that premises, even if they believe they were not from the same place and time. There was one, and I couldn't tell you where it was, but it was on an earlier episode of the Grave Talks where it talked about some children ghosts and some adult ghosts, and they think they could identify who they were and place their time periods as very different points in history, but they were all connected to the property. And it seemed almost as if the adult ghosts became very parental to the children ghosts, like very much everybody stayed, the children stayed children, the adults stayed adults, and they still protected the children like you would a living person. Yeah. And the interactions that they would hear and pick up on were very much like, do you think they can hear us? And then like one responding over there, this or that. And like one, yeah, there was one, and I don't remember the exact incident, but it was something where the adult ghost actually, you know, kind of corrected the younger ghost child, just as if it were a child, like don't do that to them or something. It was some sort of, you know, like you wouldn't, like if your child is acting up to a guest, you're like, hey, lay off. It was something like that.
Okay.
So in some cases, yes, I very much think that's a possibility. But as with all things ghosts, because one story has the dynamics of A, B, and C, doesn't always mean that the next story is going to have, it may have the dynamics of Q, F, and H. And it doesn't at all make sense. Or maybe A, Q, and C. And there's a lot of it's similar and some of it's not. So I mean, there's more questions than answers, but nothing ever really seems to be consistent in terms of what the rules are.
I just would like, as a ghost, someday to not haunt by myself. I think that would be very lonely.
Well, we already agreed to that.
Well, I know, but
it's in our wedding vows.
Yes, literally it is. I just don't know if that's within our control or not.
Well, I think if we make it up and put it on paper and say it in our wedding, it has to be true.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think you know, you make your agreements and there you go.
Okay.
Are you going to get mad at me for fucking with people? Because you get mad at me in real life when I do it to the living. Do I have like free range, or am I going to, are the roles going to get flipped here on the other side? Am I going to be like, Jenny, stop. You're really freaking them out. And you're going to be like, who cares?
Well, we know who has the darker mind here. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
It'll be interesting. Roles will be reversed. Just to hope you're not living in our house.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Our next story says, this is a story about the house I lived in after I moved out of my parents' house when I was 18. I'm sorry it's super long, but this is a story worth telling. When I was 18, I moved out of my parents' house into a town that was one of the very first towns to have ever been built in our state. Right down the street from this house was an incredibly old cemetery, and multiple people have heard babies crying from where a bunch of babies had died back during a war. Anyway, this house, I was renting the upstairs bedroom. My landlord lives on the bottom floor. We would share a bathroom and a kitchen. Across from my bedroom was another room that only contained storage boxes that went all the way back to the window that pretty much touched the ceiling as well. No one ever went into this room. The door was always shut. Before I moved to my landlord, Tim, he told me that he lived there his whole life and that even his dad had died in the house. It did not bother me. I had experienced some ghosts, and when I was younger, I was not really freaked out by this fact, so I moved in anyway. First couple of months, my boyfriend Anthony and I had experienced some weird things. Around the first days, I'd asked to put a lock on my door. Something about the hallway at night and that room being right across the hall freaked me out, and I wanted some sense of security. So we went ahead and put a lock on the door. And following night, when Anthony was leaving to go back to his place, he locked my door and then went downstairs to his car. As he was walking away from the house, he felt like something was watching him. So he turned around, looked up at the window of the room across from mine. The blinds had been pulled down as if someone was peeking through the window. At first, he didn't think anything of this. Maybe it was just stuck like that. We never noticed. When we went to turn away, the blinds went up. It freaked him out so much, in fact, that he did not even tell me about this until a few months later, after we both have witnessed multiple things. Every night when I would lay down and go to bed, I would hear footsteps above my room, which was strange considering the only thing above me was an attic. We looked and made sure that no animal was up there and that nothing could get in. We found absolutely nothing and no hole or anything that could lead to the outside. Eventually, as time went on, we named it Stan. This was probably a bad idea on our part because once we started to recognize it, it showed up and made itself present more and more. This is when we decided that we thought there was more than one entity in the house. The house's basement was probably one of the scariest parts of the house, even though we never really witnessed anything down there besides feeling as if something was watching us. The basement itself gave off an extremely negative vibe. I used to make excuses on why I did not go down there to do laundry, just so I would not be down there alone. One time Anthony said he felt something chase him out of the basement, like as if whatever was down there was right next to him the whole time and even followed him up the steps till he shut the door. One night as Anthony and I just finished dinner and were in my room about to watch a movie around 8:30, we heard the front living room door slam shut. The front living room door was a very heavy door. It needed some effort to open and close it. Also, it was very loud. I could always tell whenever someone came or left the house by the sound of that door. When I said the door slammed shut, I mean it slammed shut. It was extremely loud and it even shook the entire house. Anthony walked downstairs to check to see if maybe Tim had gotten home, but what he found was that Tim was not home, and the door was shut and locked. When he got back upstairs, we called Tim and asked him if he came home and then left. He said no, he had not been home and will not be until 10 o'clock that night. I believe that this entity that was in the basement and that slammed the door was an older, angry man. I'm not sure why he seemed to be angry all the time, but whenever he was around, the room just filled with negative energy. One time when I was home alone watching TV in the living room, I heard a knock on the front door. I got up and went to check, but no one was there. Not a moment later, after another knock came, but this from the back door. This was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so I thought maybe someone was knocking and then walked around to the back door. So I went outside, walked around the entire house, and there was no one there. I came back inside and started watching TV. Then once again, a knock came from the front door, then the back, then the front, then the back again. And each time I looked, there was no one there. By this time, I got annoyed and decided to go upstairs and pretend that nothing happened for the rest of the night. Another story is that Anthony had gone and used the bathroom that was downstairs. He said someone knocked on the door. He said, "Just give me the minute. I'll be out in a sec." Thinking it was me knocking, no one responded. So he just thought I walked away. But it knocked again a few seconds later. He did not respond. He just hurried up and washed his hands. And after washing his hands, he heard the knock again. And he went over to the door and waited to hear a knock again. It knocked again. And he flew the door open. Thinking I ran away around the corner, he chased after me. But there was nothing there. He called my name and I responded from the upstairs bedroom. He ran up there and asked me if I was downstairs knocking on the bathroom door, and I said no. I've been upstairs the entire time. I think the one knocking on the doors and playing tricks is either a little boy or girl that's just bored and trying to play. The last entity, I think, is the one in the basement. He likes to make itself known. He'd walk up and down the step or move things into my room when I was not looking. He even knocked on my window from time to time. A little bit after I'd been there for a few moments, we went to dinner with my landlord and his brother. We were talking about the crazy stuff that has happened in the house. My landlord did not believe us, and he told him we all had wild imaginations, but his brother told us that the house was completely haunted. I'd even saw a face in the window of my exact bedroom. My room is on the second floor, so there was no way a person could just be standing outside that window. He then told us that the house had caught on fire once, and then was rebuilt. I'm not sure if the fire had killed anyone, but that is all he said. A year or so later, I moved out into an apartment building with my boyfriend. First year of living, their stuff would be knocked off on top of the fridge, keys sat out of a bowl. You could hear the keys being picked up and then dropped back into the bowl. I think it was probably the ghost who likes to make itself known at the old house. He probably followed us to the apartment. I did not make the conclusion until now, but I went and got a cross tattoo on my wrist. Only a few days after that, both Anthony and I see this blinding light. It was there and then gone as fast as it came, as if you blinked. We thought there was some sort of power thing, but no light in our apartment was that bright. We even walked outside to see if someone noticed it. No one did. But ever since we've seen that light, we've not heard the keys picked up, and nothing has fallen off the fridge. Anyway, that's my story. Hope you guys got to read it. And I'm sorry again, it's long. My boyfriend and I have some crazy stories from when we were younger. Suppose you'd like to hear those, let me know. I appreciate everything you guys do. Yes, we would like to hear those, so please do send them in. Sam?
I think sometimes when you acknowledge a ghost and you give it a name, or you think you know its name, or it tells you its name, and then you start, you know, kind of almost jokingly including it as part of the household, it makes it feel more comfortable and its presence increases.
Mm-hmm.
And it may open up doorways for other things too, to also be like, oh, hey, there's a party at Stan's house. Let's just go haunt over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the best time to acknowledge a ghost is when you're telling it to leave. Otherwise, if you acknowledge it, it may get a little too comfortable. Kind of like humans may sometimes get a little too comfortable and you can't somehow get them to shut up and leave.
Yeah, it's very much like that. Some people just can't get a clue.
Yeah.
Where you're sitting there and you're like, okay. And you're doing everything in your power, like, okay, I'm good, thank you, okay. And you're being polite, mm-hmm. but some people just don't know when to shut up and leave.
Right.
And if you give any inkling of attention just to be polite, it's like, that's another doorway to another part of the conversation.
And then you get stuck for 2.5 hours buying chickens. Literally happened to me. I did not get home till 3:30. My appointment was at 1 with this person.
Well, you learned a lot about chickens.
I learned a lot about old cars. I learned a lot about everything in the whole world. I just couldn't be rude because it was an elderly gentleman. And mm-hmm. I was just like, okay. I finally was like, I really need to get her home so she can, you know, because Harp was with me. I said, yeah. I really need to get her home so she can finish her schoolwork.
Yeah.
And then it's like, isn't that something, that whole, oh, here we go. We opened up another can of information. And it was, I was afraid you were going to think I had been kidnapped and taken away because I was gone for so long. And it was right here in our same town. So it was like, he knows that it would not take 2.5 hours to go get 2 chickens and come home.
Mm-hmm.
So
what did Harper say when she got home? She's like, he was a something one.
He was a people person.
He was a people person. Because I said, how'd it go, honey? And she's like grabbing some chips. She's like, he was a people person. Then she just kept walking.
Yeah.
Just very nonchalant. She wasn't just like matter of fact.
And I avoid confrontation at all costs, almost to a fault. And well, probably to a fault because I probably should have just said, I'm sorry, I really have to go. And, you know, I kept, giving subtle social cues, like, and that's a lot for somebody like me to give social cues and somebody else not pick up on them, because I'm like getting in my car and I'm starting my car.
And it's one thing, it's nice. The gentleman probably hadn't talked to anybody in a while and probably really enjoyed some conversation. And I think, you know, a half hour is a fair amount of time for that. But yeah, I mean, it really kind of, he took advantage of that 2.5 hour time window. That was a bit much, but I get it. You know, it's a crazy time, and you're probably, that's what you were dealing with, was just some, you know, nice old man who, hey, first time I've talked to someone in a month.
Well, he would be a great resource on a lot of different things.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi. So I have a pretty creepy ghost story. When I was about, I'd say maybe 6 or 7, I used to live in this house, and it was the first haunted house that I had ever really like experienced. And now, like, I'm still haunted by all kinds of stuff. I'm into the paranormal, ghosts, everything. Well, anyway, I was about 6 or 7 in this house, and the first experience we had was we had a remote on our living room table, and we were watching a movie. It was me, my brother, my mom, and my dad. And, well, after the movie we had watched, we went to go reach for the remote, and it was missing. So we're like, okay, well, one of us probably put it somewhere else. So we went all around the house looking for this remote, and turns out, like, when we came back to the living room, the remote was in the same exact spot where it had been before. But we all knew that, like, it was missing, and it was gone. So we were really confused by that. And a little history on this house was that there was an elderly couple that used to live there, and they were pretty deep in debt, and they ended up killing themselves in our garage. They had sat in their car and turned the car on and let it run, and it eventually killed them. So, and that house has, according to my mom, she says the house, we don't live there anymore, but at the time my mom was like, the house just does not have a good energy to it. And I kind of felt that too, because I had experienced my first, I guess, sleep paralysis type experience. I don't really know what to call it, because I absolutely hated my bedroom. I don't know why, mainly because I would hear voices in the vent when our AC was pretty much broken half the time for no reason. I always felt like there was a man standing in my closet, but the reason why I talk about sleep paralysis is because I used to be able to control my dreams and like kind of lucid dreaming. Well, for some reason, they always turned into these horrible, horrible nightmares. And at the end of every dream, like, I would wake up, but I couldn't open my eyes. Like, I knew I was awake, but all I could see was, like, TV static, and I could hear it. And it would feel like hours before I could even wake up and move. Well, there was this one night that I had the sleep paralysis, and, you know, after every nightmare I had being a little kid, I would get out of my bed, grab my blanket and my stuffed animal, and go to my parents' room down the hallway. Well, I would always book it to my parents' room because I hated the bathroom, and it was right next to my room. I don't know what it was. I just hated it. It freaked me out. But anyway, so this one night I had gotten up. I was ready to book it. And the way my house is laid out is so you walk in, there's a living room, and then there's the stairs on the left side of the house. And my room is, like, right next to the stairs. And so I can see out into the living room. Well, I opened my door, and I had this feeling to just look behind me. And I looked behind me, and there was a tall black figure of a man standing there staring at me. And I remember, like, squinting to see if, like, maybe I was tired, my eyes were playing tricks on me. But I did that several times, and I was freaked out, and he was still standing there. And so I booked it to my parents' room, and I was freaking out, and I've always remembered that. Well, apparently, my brother, he had experienced stuff like that, too. He said that he saw this figure follow him around school and in the house. And so I asked him, like, what would the figure look like? And he said it was a tall black figure of a man. No, it was no features, no clothes, nothing. It would just follow him everywhere. And that kind of freaked me out since I saw that too. And he told me that it would get so bad to the point where he would have breakdowns and just really freak him out. Well, another thing I hate about the bathroom is he told me that he was in there a couple times and the faucet would turn on by itself, which kind of confirmed, like, okay, there was something in that bathroom. Let's see. My mom had also said that one night she was laying in bed and she saw this figure, the same figure me and my brother had been seeing, walk from her bathroom up to the bed and started pressing on her chest like she couldn't breathe. Like, the thing was just causing her not to breathe. So she was freaking out and, like, she couldn't scream or anything. So she started saying, like, a prayer, and then it went away. Well, there was just a lot of stuff in that house, and some of it has followed me because I've always had ghosts. I've always had my own weird experiences. I have so many. I have a ghost box. I have a flashlight that I use, and I'm kind of known as the ghost whisperer with my friends. That house was definitely something. Thank you for listening to my story. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your story.
It almost sounds like, I mean, I hate to put words in her mouth, but it almost sounds like she doesn't mind being the ghost whisperer. So she has all the equipment and everything to continue that on.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that is the case, if she likes being able to communicate with the other side or how she feels about that.
I would guess if you're actively investing in ghost communication equipment, you would be liking it.
Or do you feel obligated? Do you feel obligated to give messages and things like that?
Because you have the ability and mm-hmm. others do not. And it's more like, well, this is kind of my role.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying. Where it's like people say, don't waste that talent. And even if it's like something you really don't like doing, but you're really good at.
Right.
Take Whitney Houston, for example. Everybody was like, don't waste that talent. And she really was like, in a lot of accounts, you know, really didn't like the spotlight. You know, wasn't a big fan of this and that, you know, and it took a toll on her mentally. And she turned to drugs and alcohol and everything to an extreme, and it eventually killed her. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of how she coped. I mean, could she have coped 50 different other ways that were healthier? Sure. But, you know, that's what, you know, it's like, you're so amazing at this, but what if it's not your thing?
Yeah.
You know, and that happens.
Right.
It's like if I were good at baseball or something.
Oh gosh, and you hate baseball.
I have no problem. I don't mind going to a game and just enjoying the atmosphere, but I am bored out of my fucking mind watching.
I love watching baseball,
and that's fine. And I that is cool. I have no problem. I'm not judging anybody who likes watching baseball. Me personally, just not my thing. So I won't judge you if you don't judge me. That's how I feel about it. And it's just like, if I were like really good at it, I think I'd go nuts. Although if you're good at something, you tend to like kind of get into it.
Most of the time, unless it's been forced on you at an early age and you just have never had a chance to try out anything else. And you've always like, no, you're a golfer.
Yeah.
Like, does Tiger Woods really love golf? Because he started when he was what?
Yeah.
Three, you know, I wonder how sick of it you get.
Well, it's like how my parents forced me to be a vaudeville performer for the first 10 years of my life.
Right.
I'm like one of the world's top 10 vaudeville performers.
You can like nobody can.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I can like nobody can. And I can keep going. But I just don't like it.
I know.
So
you have to shave your legs and you don't like that part.
I felt awkward. And I just, you know, but to some, that's their thing. To me, it just wasn't. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go out while I'm on top.
There's some people listening that probably think you really are a vaudeville performer.
Well, just let them keep thinking. Because, hey, it's 2020. Anything's possible. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person in EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through the Patreon app, patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to our whole archive of shows, 7 years worth to binge away on, brand new EPP bonus episodes every week, advanced episodes, ebook, audiobook, and more. It's all there for you at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony, and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.